Back with you on The Takeaway, I'm Tanzina Vega. We're going to end today's show with something that should sound familiar to most of your ears. Nope, that's not a household generator or a low-flying airplane. Instead, it's the rhythmic thrum of cicadas, a staple of our summer soundscapes here in the United States. And this year, things might be a bit louder as billions of cicadas emerge from the earth after living underground for the past 17 years as part of the so-called Great Eastern Brood, or Brood 10. To put that in perspective, the last time we heard or saw Brood 10 was the same year that Facebook was launching as a social network, and the first legal same-sex marriage was taking place in Massachusetts. And it was also a time when Donald Trump was known as the host of The Apprentice rather than our former president. For more on the upcoming Once in 17 Years Cicada Spectacle, we're joined now by Dr. Matt Kasson, an associate professor of forest pathology and mycology at West Virginia University. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tanzina. Happy to be here.
There are thousands of cicada species worldwide. Why are we making such a big deal about the Brood 10?
Well, there are cicadas worldwide, about 3,000 species. But in North America, we have a very unique phenomenon, and that is the 13 and 17-year periodical cicadas. Nowhere else on Earth do we see such long-lived cicadas that spend most of their life underground to emerge in this truly spectacular spectacle. And their numbers are far surpass anything we've ever seen.
Now, just to be clear, these are harmless, right?
That's right. Oftentimes, people are afraid when they see large insects in large abundance, but they pose no threats to us as humans. They have kind of sucky mouth parts for feeding on the sap of trees. So even if they land on us, they can't hurt us. And they do have kind of sword-like structures on the back of females, and those are for laying eggs in woody tissue. So they can't sting us, they can't bite us.
So the cicadas of the Brood 10, which are periodical cicadas, how do they compare to the cicadas we see and hear annually?
Well, for one, they have a much longer life cycle. I mean, they're called 17-year cicadas because they spend so much time underground developing. Most of their life is spent in a juvenile stage, we call a nymph, feeding on the roots of plants underneath our feet. So they're there all along, we just don't notice them. But when they come up in kind of a synchronized fashion. So within a two-week period, we'll see billions of cicadas emerge in the areas where they're known to occur. So this Brood 10 covers about 15 states. And we'll see a major epicenter in and around the greater DC area. This compares to annual cicadas that come out every year, but really don't have the numbers. You hear them, but you don't really see them. So the periodical cicadas, you can't miss seeing them just because they'll be up along with their billion other friends.
I'm going to pose an existential question here, Matt. Do these periodical cicadas, our brood tens, who have been developing underground for 17 years, do they have a purpose? And I guess that is existential in a lot of ways, but why? I mean, what is the point of them emerging right now? Or is it just strictly because of their cyclical development cycle?
Right. There's a lot of people that actually study the math behind cicada emergence. And obviously, there's a lot of theory that goes into it, but really it's about predator evasion. If they wait long enough, then the collective memory of the predators that feed on them can't predict when they're going to come up. But when they do come up, they do provide a huge resource for every snake, bird, and fish in the area. They just basically fill all of them. So you see a real boom in those populations in years that cicadas emerge. The other benefit is of course, the fertilizer that they add to the soil as they die and integrate back into the soil.
We played some sound at the very top of the segment here because that's a sound that a lot of people recognize. How do cicadas make their loud sounds, and how loud can they actually get? I mean, are we thinking, you know, we're going to be trying to do the show and all windows have to be closed so we can avoid cicada background noise here?
Yeah, great question. Well, when you're hearing cicadas, you're really only hearing the males. The males are the ones that that have a call. And that call is meant to impress a female into being receptive to mating. So the periodical cicadas are actually three distinct species. So you have three separate calls by males to impress their respective females. So you're hearing kind of the overlap of three different cicada species in time and space. And to answer your other question, how loud is it? You know, if you've ever sat next to, you know, high tension power lines or a generator going nonstop, it can be deafening outside, especially in kind of more heavily wooded areas, wooded suburban environments or wooded parks around urban environments, definitely.
So it's also it's a mating call, essentially. And if all of these male cicadas are out here making all this noise, do they drown each other out?
Absolutely. In fact, they have to get close enough to the female to have her hear their call. But they're also waiting for a female to flick her wings to indicate that she's receptive to mating. So they get as close as they can. They scream as loud as they can. And they wait for her to flick her wings and say, okay, I'm open to the idea of mating.
Matt, I had to laugh because it sounds like the lady cicadas are in charge here.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
You have to be excited about the fact that the brood 10 are emerging, right? For scientists, for folks in your community, you're a forest pathology and mycology professor here. What does this mean for you? I mean, this has got to be a pretty big deal, waiting 17 years for this emergence.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And this is the biggest. So there's a lot of excitement around that. There are other broods that emerge in other years. And we, as people that study cicadas, and we study fungi that infect cicadas, we're always traveling around to find these broods in various locations. But with brood 10, you don't have to travel too far because it's emerging in 15 states, whereas other broods might be restricted to just a few counties in one state. So it's a real great opportunity to look at, you know, different aspects of the cicada life cycle and understand more about its genetics and its the contemporary pressures and things like that.
Less than a minute to go. Any apps for the cicada curious, people who want to follow where these folks are, where these cicadas are going?
Yeah, I would definitely encourage people to check out iNaturalist and Safari Cicada, which are two great apps for tracking cicadas. But, you know, just encourage you to get out there and see them because it really is a true spectacle.
Sounds like an amazing thing. Matt Kasten is an associate professor of forest pathology and mycology at West Virginia University. Matt, thanks so much for sharing all wisdom cicada related with us. We really appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.